Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcast Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolutionary planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the science of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you'll be enabled to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to Deborah's Healing Kitchen with your host, author, speaker, and Miss Culinary Expert with Dr. Jewel Pookum's EQ's Medicine Professional Alliance, Miss Deborah Peak Haynes.
Hello, welcome to Deborah's Healing Kitchen. I am Deborah Peak Haynes, and today we are coming to you with information that will hopefully inspire you to live a healthier life, a higher quality of life. And with that, I want to introduce a dynamic sister that I've known for quite some time. She's not just a dynamic sister, but she is an MD and has had a wonderful reputation for helping so many people in the community. And I just want to say thank you so much, Dr. Jill Wagner, for allowing me to interview you on my podcast today. I know you are going to give wonderful information to the listeners, and you always have an uplifting personality. And so, Dr. Jill Wagner, thank you for taking time out of your practice today to speak with me. Could you please say hello and just give us a brief summary about you? I know we don't have that much time because it's a lot to say about you, but give us a brief summary about Dr. Jill Wagner.
Well, first of all, Deb, let me say thank you so much for inviting me to come and have this conversation with you. I am a family practice doc. You know that already. Have studied integrative and functional medicine for the last probably 15 years or so. Just finished a certification from Cornell University on plant-based nutrition because I thought that was real important. And, you know, I've been family practice for forever, pretty close to 30 years, and now I'm still family practice, but I have switched to something called concierge medicine. Mm-hmm. So I am doing that, and we can talk about that a little bit later on. And I really have an interest, and you know this, I think we share this together, with trying to help people to understand that one of the most important things you can do for your health is to feed yourself well.
Right.
And so, you know, food is so important. So I spend a lot of time with that and kind of teaching people about those things and trying to get us to understand that disease is not something that you're just walking down the street and bump into.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you do have some control over. So I think, you know, I've got kids, you know that already. I have two beautiful daughters, and our children went to preschool together.
Yes.
Okay, that's how far we go back to preschool together, and am married, and I've written 7 or 8 books, something like that. So that's pretty much it.
Well, Dr. Jill, that is a lot. That is a lot. You've been doing a lot. So that's awesome. That's awesome. So I had the privilege of being a part of one of your cooking classes recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like for you just to tell a brief summary of what led you to a more plant-based diet, personally.
I've kind of done it off and on, you know, because I know that nutrition is just so important. So I've gone back and forth. There was a period of time that I was pretty much vegan, and I did that for about 3 years, and then
mm-hmm.
I went back, and I started eating meat again, and it kind of creeped you know, more and more into my diet. But what I know is that I feel my best when I am eating mostly plants. And just a little story, when I was a kid, yeah, I grew up in the 60s, I did not like meat, did not like the taste of it, did not like the texture of it, and just didn't want it. But in those days, they thought if you didn't eat meat, you wouldn't be healthy.
Right.
And so I remember being a little girl and the pediatrician saying to my mother, hold her vegetables until she eats her meat. And so you have to give her, chicken or fish sticks or something, and she has to eat that before she eats her vegetables, or don't let her have them. So for me, it was kind of innate not to eat meat, but I have over the years. And then as I started to study more, to do intense study on what specific things in your diet do to the body, I really, as I looked at particularly the China study, and I know there are some people who have looked at that, and just looked at that and the research they did subsequent to that study that showed as little as 20% of your calories being from animal protein can increase your risk of cancers and other diseases significantly. And then looking at the research on what just growing, raising cattle and that kind of stuff is doing to our planet really made me think I just cannot be a scientist and understand this. It is irresponsible for me not to act on it.
Wow. Well, that is so good, and I really appreciate, you know, that you are very authentic about what you're teaching and practicing. And I know some people think that I eat a certain way all the time, but I think it's good to know we all go back and forth with some things. Like there's some things I'm just not going to eat any red meat. That's just out. We're not going to do that. However, with the diet, sometimes you vary, but I agree with you. When I'm eating my plant-based diet, that's when I feel my best. So thank you for sharing that with us. So, you know, you've had such a great reputation for including natural approaches in your practice. So just wanted to know, have you ever gotten any pushback from the medical community? Because I know, talk to your patients, they are very, very inspired by you. But, you know, sometimes the medical community can be very narrow-minded. So have you had any pushback?
Oh, sure. Particularly early on, I remember when I first started practicing medicine and I would send patients who had carpal tunnel syndrome or something to the neurologist. But I also would start them on vitamin B, right? Because there were studies early on that said that vitamin B helped to calm nerves, and if you were having nerve pain, you wanted to make sure that those patients had adequate vitamin B. And I remember one of my patients came back, and she said, don't send me to that neurologist anymore. And I said, why? She said, because he says that you are quacky.
No.
And I said, he said, what? She said, he said, you are quacky. You know Jill is quacky. She's out there. She does weird stuff. Now, of course, admittedly, that was almost 30 years ago. But today, 30 years later, almost every neurologist that you go to for any kind of nerve pain will say, are you taking vitamin B? So that is kind of now it has come into the mainstream. So, yes, I have had pushback. But being a black woman in the world, I have learned.
Right. We know about that.
Well, what? You know about pushback.
Right.
So what you know for sure is when you know that what you are doing comes from a good and authentic place and you know what you know, you just stand on what you know and wait for people to catch up to you or not.
I know that
it makes people better. And so better is better. You can't argue with that. So the pushback has been an issue, but it really has not deterred me.
That's great. So, you know, with all the talk about and you know, of course, we know this, but it's like the world's catching up, particularly in this country, to talk about the disparities in African American community that's made us very vulnerable during this time, you know, with the coronavirus. How have your patients responded to your practical suggestions that could really help many of us overcome, you know, these chronic conditions we have? So have you had a lot of pushback with your patients, or are they pretty much open when they come to you?
I think at this point in my career that most of the people that I get as patients actually select me as a healthcare provider because they know they will have somebody who is open to different kinds of healing modalities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, initially when I was taking patients that just got assigned to me by their insurance company or something like that, that was an issue. But now people come to me for that reason. They come to me because they know that my go-to is not always a prescription. You know, we talk about other things. So I don't get much pushback anymore. I will tell you, though, where I get pushback sometimes is because wives will send their husbands, right?
Oh, yeah. So would you please help me with him? Right.
And he is sitting there, and I'm saying, look, you should. He's like, mm-hmm, no, I'm not giving up my bacon. Okay,
right.
Well, okay, fine. And I will look at her and say, he's grown, you know.
Right.
We can't make him do anything he doesn't want to do.
Right.
So that's probably the pushback that I get.
Right.
But that's rare.
Isn't that amazing, though? What I find frustrating, you know, because I talk to people all the time, what I find frustrating is that we somehow have adopted this mentality that whatever the condition is, it just came out the clear blue sky.
Right.
And that there was no personal responsibility. Now, we know there are many issues in our community that have to do with environmental health, you know, just health care. So there's a lot that's in the system that's against us. At the same time, we have adopted some habits that have really caused us to be in a place that we should not be in.
Yeah.
So connecting those dots, I find frustrating. So have you find that to be frustrating as well?
You know, it is extremely frustrating. I had a new patient this week, had been to several emergency rooms and was having some respiratory issues that she thought, of course, could be the virus, and so she'd been tested negative, and had the respiratory issues, but not really all of the symptoms for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody recommended, they said, you know, try to see if you can get in with Dr. Wagner. So I saw her as a new patient, and we actually did a televisit for our because, you know, now we're trying not to have people come in for, you know, on exposure on both sides. And so we went through the whole conversation about what are you doing, what are your symptoms, that kind of thing. And so as we neared the end of our initial part of the visit, I said, so what is your diet like?
Mm-hmm.
And she held up for me to see a bag of candy.
Mm.
And she said, I live on this and sodas.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I said to her, you will not get well.
Right.
On will not. And so then I explained to her about, you know, how sugar suppresses your immune system. And, you know, we went through that. And I said, so this is what I need you to do. Cut out the sodas, cut out the candy. I need you to do vegetables and drink water. And so, you know, I gave her these recommendations and sent her in a prescription. And in 3 days, she was better.
Wonderful.
And she said to me, nobody's ever told me that there was a connection between rest. I know. And so I think today, is it that we are not saying it to people, or do they not hear us, or do they not believe it? I cannot figure out. Yeah, how in 2020 you are not in some way aware of the fact that what you consume, you know, affects what your outcome is. So I think I appreciate what you do because you've done this for years. I remember when you first became first lady and you were just like, listen, y'all have to do better. And, you know, it's like, what is she talking about?
She's talking about
y'all
are going to die.
You know, you don't eat better. But I think connecting the dots for us is still something that has not quite clicked.
Right. And you know what? I think it's good that we not make assumptions because with all the information that is floating around, I mean, on television, on the internet, because I would make the same assumptions like, well, how have you not heard some of this before? But to your point, I run into many people that have not heard it. And then those that hear it and don't believe it.
Yeah.
So it's just really baffling. But we just have to keep up, you know, the fight and just make sure that we can, you know, help as many people as possible. And I know it's rewarding when you can actually see what you're doing and that it's working and they get it. I mean, that's just so wonderful.
Yeah.
So now with this virus going on and, you know, you and I have spoken about immune boosters, would you like to share with some immune boosters that you personally like during this time? Because I've had people ask me, you know, what can I do naturally? So are there any immune boosters that you would like to, you know, just share with our listeners?
Well, you know, everybody says eat healthy. I don't know that people know what that
means.
I assume that they don't. And that's not to say that people aren't really super smart, but I just make that assumption. So first of all, what you eat is critical. So it needs to be lots of plant foods, lots of vegetables and fruit and those kinds of things. And the reason that you want to start with food, because it is the basis upon which you build your health, period. And so one of the things that's really important in foods are the phytochemicals and phytonutrients that are in foods. And and phyto means plant, and nutrients and chemicals, those are obvious. But there's a particular group of phytonutrients called flavonoids. And flavonoids are found in, you know, things like garlic and leafy greens and fruit and, you know, citrus fruit and those kinds of things. But they are antiviral. So they actually help your body fight off viruses. So you need to have that. One of the things that we've done, Deb, is we always think of illness as an individual entity, but I think we have to think about just preparing our immune systems for whatever it encounters. So we don't wait for them to get the specific research on this specific thing, but we know if my immune system is stronger, then whatever I encounter, I am better able to fight it off, and if I do catch it, I will fare better. So if you start with the good food. Then the other things, there are some vitamins that and minerals that really help our immune system. You know, vitamin C is one. You know, you ought to be taking some vitamin C. So eat, particularly with the coronavirus, there are some studies ongoing where they are looking at people who are really, really sick from it, and they are actually giving them IV vitamin C. And so it'll be a while before we see the results of that, but the anecdotal results are that they are getting better. And so if you take vitamin C orally, the recommendation is to do somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 international units. And by the way, this is not medical advice. This is just, you know, general advice. Between 1,000 and 2,000 milligrams a day, you do not want to go higher than 2,000 unless there's some special circumstance. That is to help to boost your immune system. The one case, if you're doing chemotherapy, you don't want to do vitamin C because vitamin C helps cells to repair themselves. So one of the things in chemotherapy is you are trying to damage those cancer cells so that they will die off.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're taking vitamin C during chemotherapy, that can kind of interfere with that therapy. The other thing is vitamin D. You know, vitamin D is very important. And those of us who have brown skin are often vitamin D deficient because of this wonderful melanin that we have in our skin.
Right.
But it blocks some of the sun's rays, so we are not able to convert or to manufacture vitamin D. So that's important. And zinc is very, very important. You can't really find zinc anywhere right now.
I heard.
Because people have read that zinc, you need anywhere from 20 to 40 milligrams a day. If you stay around 20 milligrams a day on zinc, that's good. So those are some things that you just start off with, and probiotics to help your gut to stay healthy, because most of your immune system is in your gut. And, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But those are some things that, just basic things that can help us to be healthier so we can have our immune systems kind of at their best.
Right. You know, I wanted to mention this. There was a story on the news this morning, and it was about a fitness trainer that had the virus and eventually, I think, died within a couple of weeks, and they were talking about how fit he was. But and I don't know this person, and I don't know his history, but I just wanted to say this and see what your thoughts are. I have found that some people that are physically fit and they practice, you know, great exercise, you know, during the week and all of that, they don't necessarily eat well. They may eat a lot of protein, or they're not eating enough vegetables.
Right.
So I think that we need to look deeper, that sometimes looking fit does not mean that you're really
best
health. Right, right.
And that, you know, Deb, that's a big thing, because I often see people, I will say to my children, because they will see something online or something, and they're like, look at this person, I'm going to take this supplement, or I'm going to take this. And I always say, so who are they? Who are they? So where'd they go to school? What kind of education do they have? What kind of study have they done? Or are they just blessed with muscles?
Right.
So, you know, muscles don't equal health, and muscles don't equal medical knowledge. And I think that's something, because a lot of times we discount or we listen to information based on the physical appearance of the person because of what our perception of health is. And I think that's a very good point, because we have to change that dialogue.
Right.
You have to listen to the soundness of the advice. But another thing that happens sometimes when we exercise too much, that will suppress our immune systems. If we eat too much protein, that will suppress our immune system. And then there's something that happens, they think is happening in the healthier end of young people. Your immune system can over-respond, and you'll start to hear something like a the term is a cytokine storm, which means that when your immune system really kicks in, it over reacts, and so that causes other issues as well. So there are some things that are immune mitigators that will help your immune system not to do too much. So having the good combination of, you know, the vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and stuff that you need will also keep your immune system from being too revved up as well. So there, you know, there are a lot of things that can happen in a case like that that can end up not so good. That's sad to hear.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. That's really good information, and that's very, very helpful. And, you know, when I do my workshops or events, you know, I try to remind the listeners that, just because someone is slim doesn't
yeah.
mean they're healthy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we want to yeah. be healthy. We want to
yeah.
be a good weight, but we want to
yeah.
be healthy more than anything else.
Yeah.
So
and
I think that's great.
Yeah. It's what we have to learn is you have to be as healthy as you can possibly be in the body that you have.
Right.
So, you know, there are some people that are going to be just the physique is just wonderful.
Right.
Right. And, you know, bless them, you know.
Right. Right.
There are some people that are going to be fluffy. There are some people that are going to be bone thin, but
right.
that does not equal unhealthy necessarily. So you want to be as healthy as you can possibly be, as opposed to shooting for a number on the scale or
right.
shooting for a waist size or a hip size or a, you know, any of that. What you want to shoot for is being as metabolically healthy as you can possibly be.
Right. That's good. That is really, really good. Now, Dr. Dill, do you ever use mm-hmm. any essential oils at home?
Oh, girl, you know I am an essential oil user. So I do, you know, it depends on which essential oils you use. But, you know, there's like Seeds and On Guard and, you know, people
mm-hmm.
who know the companies, they know which one. But those are blends, you know, that help to fight off viruses, and they're antiviral and antibacterial, or I won't say antiviral or antibacterial. I will say they help you are thought to help your body react in a better way. You know, you have
right.
to be careful when you're
right.
talking about
right.
it.
Right.
So
right.
you can't make claims, but they have been shown to have some antiviral and antibacterial properties. So I'm a diffuser. I'm one of those people that I do some neat application with things like coconut oil
mm-hmm.
when I know which ones to do. And there are some like clove oil that
mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a little girl, my grandmother, if you had anything happening in your mouth, like, you know, if you got an abscess or a tooth that was sore or anything like that, she would have you to put a clove in it to numb
right.
the pain. So I use clove oil just as, you know, sometimes to do that oil pulling to help to make sure that the gums and so forth stay healthy.
Right.
Lavender oil for relaxation, helichrysum if I've got a bruise, peppermint oils. And, so I use lots of essential oils. I think that they are something that have been around for centuries.
Forever, right.
Forever
right.
and ever. I was reading something not too long ago, and it was talking about, you know, the tombs and when they went in and you know, started going into those tombs where the pharaohs were and that kind of stuff, what they found that people left the gold, but they took the oils.
Wow.
So when archaeologists went in, if grave robbers had been in before, they took the oils and left the gold. Isn't that major? Doesn't
that
say a lot?
Really, that's really, really major. But then you
yeah.
think about reading in scriptures, you're always, you know, reading about myrrh and frankincense.
Yeah, frankincense.
So,
yep.
Yeah, so yeah. all of these things are
yeah.
so important. And I think
yeah.
one good thing about this time in our life, people are a lot more open. Because, like
yeah.
you said, this has been here forever, but we discounted them, the westernized
yeah.
way of thinking. You discounted
yeah.
them, but those of us know that this has helped us for centuries.
For centuries.
Yeah.
For centuries.
And even our,
yeah.
our grandparents and great-grandparents, my mother told me when she was growing up, whenever they had a fever, you know, there was a bunch of kids in the house, my grandmother would pick dandelion leaves and boil
mm-hmm.
the leaves, and they all had
mm-hmm.
to drink the dandelion tea. And
mm-hmm.
I said, well, yeah, that was great for their liver. And so
mm-hmm.
anyway, she said their fevers always went down.
Mm-hmm.
And so women knew what to do when
yep.
they had to make do.
Yep,
so,
they did. Mullein, dandelion, all of those stuff. Kinds of things they used forever to make us better.
Right, right. So
yeah.
we have to be more open-minded, and I think it's wonderful that, you know, you bring this to your practice. Now, you have transitioned into your concierge practice. So how is that going, and how does that work?
Well, it's actually working very well and going well. A concierge practice, you know, before I was a general family practice, and so I was responsible in medicine. We call it responsible for so many lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I had about 5,000 patients.
Are you
and
kidding
so,
me?
No, I am not kidding you. So if you could imagine having 5,000 patients, that's one of the reasons, you know, why doctors, you know, they run behind and you can't
right.
talk to them on the phone. And it's like,
right.
why can't I get my prescription and da-da-da-da-da, and they don't respond to me? Because they have thousands of patients that they are trying to manage. So I had about 5,000 patients, and then I was extended the opportunity to do concierge. And what concierge is you have a very small patient base, so I will have a maximum of 300 patients.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an annual fee associated with it. And what that annual fee does, it's a minimal fee, but what it does is it gives you more access. So every one of my patients will have my personal cell phone number. Every one of my patients can email me, text message me. You know, we have the staff, of course, and they go through them. But let's say if they need somebody emergently at night,
mm-hmm.
when they call, they're not talking to some doctor on call. They're talking to me. And always talking to me. And so in some ways it can be more demanding, but in most ways it isn't, because one of the questions people kept asking, well, if everybody's going to have your cell phone, aren't they going to, you know, aren't you worried they'll call you all the time? To the contrary, people who have access to you in that way appreciate that access.
Okay.
And so they don't just call you, they call
right.
you when they need you.
Okay.
And so, you know, and so you want patients to be able to call you when they need you.
Right.
So that's what it is. And because I have fewer patients, I know who everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what their health issues are. We
mm-hmm.
can really talk about wellness and how to be better because I have more time for that. So it's the way I've always wanted to practice medicine.
Wow. And so, Dr. Joe, now you know I have to ask this. Are you taking time for yourself?
I finally have time for myself.
Very
I really
good.
Can get up, and I try to do, you know, my devotion in the morning. I have meditation time. I can really, you know, plant my flowers and
right.
just, I'm even considering putting some vegetables in the ground.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you need to come over to my yard and help me.
Exactly. So we'll see how that turns out.
Okay. Well, that is just absolutely wonderful, and I know that you have so many things to do. So for you to take this time and share with our listeners is just really invaluable. And so could you tell us how we can connect with you? Do you have a website or any other?
I do. You know, I am on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and all of that is at Ask Dr. Jill. Ask Dr. Jill. And, you know, I put informational videos out there. I try to post information. What you will not see on my site is the bottom of my shoes. You know, I will not post any red bottom shoes.
Right, right, right.
But you.
Thank goodness. Okay.
I mean, you know, that's not what I'm doing on my site. So,
right.
But I try to put out information. I've done 3 informational sessions, particularly about COVID.
Mm,
and I did that because there's so much bad information out there.
Right.
I just, you know, try to post stuff so that people will know what to do. But at Ask Dr. Jill, you can follow me. And if you're interested in being one of my patients, that is methodistpremierwellness.com.
Okay.
Methodist Premier Wellness. And that, you know, will tell you information about how to become one of my patients.
Well, that is wonderful. Well, thank you for that information, and thank you for sharing with us today. And I pray you continue to be healthy and safe as you, you know, bless so many people. And I really appreciate this time, you know, to talk with you. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, so hopefully you'll come back again. And then we can share with the listeners. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today to Deborah's Healing Kitchen. For more information about what I am doing, recipes. In fact, I have to tell you this. I had a wonderful bean recipe that Jill shared during her cooking class. So anyway, you need to look at her site. But for information about Deborah's Healing Kitchen, please go to Deborah Peak. Haynes, that's DeborahPeekHaynes.com. That is my name. And you can look at more information about the things that we are doing. Thank you again, and please tune in and go to Facebook to Deborah's Healing Kitchen for more videos and information. Have a wonderful, safe, and healthy day, and please take care of yourself. We will come to you in the very near future with more wonderful, vital information for health and wellness. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel Network Science Broadcast Frequency. Join Deborah P. Haynes here each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Jewel Network. Hosted by thejewelnetwork.com, e4medicine.com. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact Ms. Deborah, please send your email to deborahpkaynes@juis.education or follow us on Facebook at